Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the show. My name is Rosie Motene, aka the African-British Princess. Welcome to my show titled Pan-African Connect, where every week we connect to beautiful people from around the continent, whether it is tradition, music, entrepreneurship, business, what is happening on the continent. If it's hot, if it's happening, we are going to talk about it. Please, if you want to call us through, the number is 0861-555-189. And of course, we're on at cliffcentral.com. And of course, we also have a WeChat ID, which of course is Cliff Central. This week, we are definitely Pan-African. I have a phenomenal, phenomenal woman in studio with me who has lived in Kenya, lived in the UK, has international accreditation in terms of education, has worked across the continent, and is now just opening up her new boutique spa. So very, very interesting. And her name is Sheila Otieno Osanya. But before we get into that, let's start with this. My new theme song for the show. It's Anjali Kidjo. Anjali Kidjo, Wombolombo. For those of you who have just joined us, my name is Rosie Motene, the aka the Afro-Yiddish Princess. The time is 5 minutes past three, and welcome to my show called Pan-African Connect, where I can connect with people from all across the continent, whether we're talking music, tradition, fashion, business, anything that is hot and happening on the continent, we are going to talk about it. Of course, if you want to call us, the number is 0861-555-189. We're on Twitter at cliffcentral.com and, of course, Facebook and WeChat. And the ID number, ID name is Cliff Central. This week, I'm speaking to a phenomenal, phenomenal woman by the name of Sheila Otieno Osanya. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rosie.
For the listeners, Sheila has done a lot of work in terms of hospitality, in terms of spa management across the continent, extensive education. And so we're going to unpack that and then also just introduce our viewers for the first time. She's going to be opening up a new spa next week. So we're going to talk about that and the philosophy behind that and where it got to. But let's go back. I mean, you grew up in Kenya and UK. How much time did you actually spend in Kenya?
I was in Kenya until I completed my O-levels, mm-hmm. and then my parents sent me to Dover in England, where I completed my A-levels.
Okay.
Yes.
And what was your upbringing like? I mean, did you come from a very artistic background? Did you come from a very academic background?
It was more of an academic background, mm-hmm. You know, with exposure to sports and music and things like that because of the schools that I went to.
Yeah.
But my father is a professor in engineering, and he's very much focused on education. So it was really important for him that we did well at school and for him to be able to provide us with, you know, the opportunity to go to the best schools that were available.
What schools did you go to? Because I see in your resume, I mean, you speak a number of languages.
A few.
I mean, you speak English, Kiswahili, German, and you have working knowledge of French and Italian.
Yes. Well, growing up at home, we spoke English at home. Mm-hmm. But I knew from a very young age that I wanted to study hotel management, which is why I decided to study French and German, mm-hmm. which I did for A-levels and O-levels.
Wow.
When I eventually went to hotel school in Switzerland, then studied Italian. Mm-hmm. And during my work experience while I was in Switzerland, I normally worked in the German-speaking areas of the country where they spoke Swiss German.
Oh, wow.
Which is very different from what they speak in Germany.
Yeah. And I mean, what is it? Excuse my ignorance, but what is the difference between the two?
Between Swiss German.
And German.
I think it's the difference is like speaking British English and speaking Pidgin English.
Oh. Which is the higher one?
That's just my take on it. I hope I don't offend any Swiss listeners.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. And the Swiss Hotel Association, the management school that you went to, before we even get into you enrolling there, what was the fascination with hotel management? What intrigued you about following that as a career path?
As a child, every year we went on holiday to Mombasa on the coast of Kenya. Mm. And we stayed at this beautiful resort and, you know, just it was very magical to me as a child, you know, the food, the preparation, you know, the little non-alcoholic cocktails, the big hibiscus flower, the entertainment, everything that went into it, going into the restaurant, the warm bread rolls with the yummy, yummy butter. And I just thought to myself that I would love to be part of the team that makes all this magic happen. Wow. So I knew at that point already that I wanted to study hotel management. I wanted to be a general manager of a 5-star hotel and travel the world and, you know, I don't know, drink champagne and eat really great food every day.
you had the right eye of what life should be like.
Yeah.
But why did you choose that specific institution?
Because Swiss hotel schools are known to be the best in the world. Mm. So I was very fortunate to be able to attend one of them.
Yeah.
Yes.
And in terms of, I mean, back then, were there a lot of students that came from Africa, or was it just a mixed cult?
We were 32 Africans while I was at La Roche.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And what were the major challenges when you first moved over?
To Switzerland?
Yeah.
Because Switzerland is a very expensive country. Mm. So I was one of those very poor students.
It's okay.
So that was challenging.
Yeah.
But other than that, in terms of the education and the experience that we gained, I can't think of a better place that I could have gone to.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then you decided to come back home after that. Why did you? I mean, first of all, how long was the course?
3 years.
Okay.
Yeah, we're there for a bit over 3.5 years because you do work experience as well in between.
Okay. And what type of experience did you work in?
So your first year, you do service. Mm-hmm. So you get work experience as a waitress. Mm-hmm. Second year, kitchen. So you go and work in a professional kitchen.
Right.
And the third year, anything management. So you could do housekeeping, front office, food and beverage, whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever opportunity you managed to get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you returned back to the continent. Was that yearning to come back home, or was it just a better opportunity for you?
I actually wanted to stay, but it was very difficult with the Kenyan passports to get work permits to work in Europe.
Right.
And back home in Kenya, hospitality is the main industry. We have several beautiful 5-star hotels. So I knew it would not be a bad place to start my career with the background that I had.
Yeah. Yes. And then after that, you moved to Zanzibar.
Yes, so I worked in Mombasa for a couple of years and then had the opportunity to move to Zanzibar to manage a 90-room 5-star hotel.
Whoa.
Yes,
wow.
And that was in 2000.
But now when you did your, I want to call it, I suppose, internships when you were still in Switzerland,
yes.
How much, what is the word I'm looking for? How much responsibility did they actually give you? I mean, were you really equipped to like move into to be able to manage a 90-room hotel?
Well, there we were just workers, basically. Basically, everything that you've learned at school over the past 6 months, you're putting into practice. But what happened is when I moved back to Kenya, I managed to rise up the ladder very quickly at the hotel I worked at in Mombasa.
Yeah.
And there I started off as a supervisor, ended up, became an assistant food and beverage manager and eventually executive assistant manager. And so the combination of the Swiss education and the opportunities, I was very fortunate to work in a hotel where all the owners, my bosses, had all gone to Cornell Hotel Management School, or every manager had some kind of recognized qualification. So the business was run really profitably, and it was very easy for me to rise up the ladder, you know, with all the encouragement and mentorship that was available.
And I mean, in terms of, I mean, you've mentioned some really big names and people know them, but are there locally based hotel schools that within the continent that you know of?
There's a very good one in Kenya called Utalii College.
Mm-hmm.
And even at the hotel that I worked at, even the most junior staff member, like a waiter, had done a basic waiter's course at Utalii.
Yeah.
Yes.
And what is it? I mean, one thing I've always been intrigued and loved about East African hospitality is this something that's been taught from home? Because any East African country that you go to, you doesn't matter who you are, you leave feeling like a princess. Whether you're staying in a 5-star hotel or you're in transit at the airport, I mean, is that something that you've been taught from a young age? Well, I'm still trying to grasp it.
I don't know. I think it's just the culture of the people. People have very warm hearts. People are very generous. People are very welcoming. I've actually met many South Africans who grew up in exile in East Africa.
Yeah.
And they cannot stop telling stories about how people would welcome them into their homes.
Mm.
They just had a small piece of pap and, you know, a little bit of meat to share with their family, but they still made room for people to come. And there was always enough.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it's just a cultural thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That strong sense of Ubuntu.
Yes.
And then you at some stage you moved to South Africa. What was that pull?
I mean, obviously everyone was interested in South Africa because of the history of the country. And what happened was, while I was managing the resort in Zanzibar, a South African couple came on holiday as mm-hmm. guests of the owners of the resort. And just before they left, I used to engage with them quite a bit. It's a small hotel, very mm-hmm. personalized service. Just before they left, the gentleman asked me, he says, "Are there other people like you?" I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "I want someone to come and work in my hotel in South Africa, but I can't poach you from these nice people who've allowed me to stay in their hotel free of charge for a week."
Yeah.
Anyway, he gave me his business card, and after considering it for several weeks, I gave him a call and I said, "You know, if you still like, I'd love to come and work for you in South Africa."
Oh, wow.
And that's how it happened.
Yeah. And what hotel group was that?
That was the Recreation Africa Leisure Industries.
Yeah. At Misty Hills?
Yes, in Mulder's Drift. Mm. Yes.
And when you said that you wanting to you know, work for them, but what was your job description initially?
I joined the group as the deputy general manager of the Misty Hills and Conference Center. Mm-hmm. My main responsibilities were managing HR, front office, housekeeping. I used to organize training for all the hotel staff. Mm-hmm. And I was also asked to look after the spa. There was a small spa there and there were no female managers, so they thought it needed a woman's touch. So it was just one of my responsibilities. And just the time that I spent, and the business grew and I learned so much, and it eventually became my passion. And then eventually the GM said to me, "You're doing such a great job building the spa. I want you to stop working in the hotel, become the spa director, and just continue growing this business."
Yeah. Wow. And what were your first steps after you got there? I mean, that's a great compliment and, you know, kudos to you. But I mean, where did you take the development of the spa from then?
Well, basically, when I first started working there, it was a small, I think there were about 6 or 7 rooms, mm-hmm. Making about a turnover of about 40,000 rand a month, mm-hmm. and a good month. And eventually we grew so much that, you know, people were constantly calling and we couldn't accommodate them. And so the owner, he decided, let's just build some more rooms.
Yeah.
So we built, and I think by the time I left, there were about 12 or 13 treatment rooms. Mm-hmm. And the revenue, the turnover was ranging between 200 to 350,000 rand a month.
Wow.
So it was a growing experience for me. It was a growing experience for the team. We grew together.
Mm. How long were you there from inception, from when you're approximately?
I arrived in June of 2001 and I left in August of 2008.
Whoa.
No, 2005, sorry.
That's 4 years. That's still a long time.
Yeah. I mean,
they say it's like 5 years for a business to really develop. So you were definitely took it to greater heights.
And I think it was the right time. You know, the spa industry was growing in South Africa. People were realizing that, you know, this is something that we like and it can become part of our lifestyle. So a combination of many factors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in terms of the training and the staff that you used, was it predominantly local or were there other Pan-African people from across the continent coming in and working with the group?
Predominantly South African, only because of the issue of work permits.
Right. Yes. And the type of clientele from across the board?
At Misty Hills, we had a lot of conference delegates coming in. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of tourists coming in and we had a lot of locals, people in the area coming in. And then also because Mulder's Drift is that part of Johannesburg where when you feel like taking time out, but you don't want to drive too far out of the city.
Yeah.
So we'd get people from Sandton, Rosebank and even Pretoria.
Yeah, just people taking some time out.
Yes, they'd come for day packages. We offered night stayover packages for 2-3 nights. Mm-hmm. So.
And when you left, was that to start your own consultancy?
No, I was offered a job at the Arabella Sheraton Grand Hotel in Cape Town to be the spa manager. Mm-hmm. It's now the Western Grand.
Yes. Yeah.
And I thought,
it's got a magnificent view, that
beautiful hotel. But I also had been to Cape Town a couple of months before for a wedding and completely fell in love with it.
Yeah.
And so the opportunity to work in Cape Town in this beautiful beautiful spa, and also part of an internationally recognized hotel group, Starwood Hotels, where there would also be a lot of development for me, personally and professionally. So I jumped at the opportunity.
And then that obviously led you into starting your own consultancy.
Yes.
What if, for somebody's out there who doesn't understand, what is a spa consultant? is it about the type of treatments that you're going to be offering? Is it about how you create a beautiful, tranquil environment? What does it entail?
So a spa consultant is a person who assists someone who wants to open a spa mm-hmm. to set up the spa from inception until the day the spa opens.
Okay.
Because a lot of people, and I'll say this, a lot of my clients or my consulting company, the spa people, are people who come from different industries and have no experience at all in the spa industry.
Right.
They're passionate spa goers, but not owners. They don't have experience. So basically, we help them. Mm-hmm. We help them with their business plan. We help them with selection of the products that they're going to use.
Mm-hmm.
We do a financial model for them. We work with interior designers to do their layouts
oh,
and
wow.
the look and feels and the designs of the spas. We help with pre-opening tasks such as, a marketing plan, recruitment, standards operating procedures plan, ordering of equipment, ordering of products. Everything that's needed until the spa opens its doors on the first day. So we provide a complete turnkey service. Yeah,
that's amazing. But just going back before we move on to actually your spa, in terms of like the equipment and the products, obviously certain brands want to bring, certain spas want to bring in certain brands.
Yes.
But in terms of the equipment and that type of thing, is it bought internationally or can you get it locally in South Africa?
Locally obtained. We've got several great companies that sell furniture and equipment for spas here in South
Africa. Oh, fantastic.
Yes.
Okay, so it's definitely proudly South African.
Yes.
Before we move on to your actual spa, you did a internal and lead auditors course. I understand the need for doing such a course because you're working within that environment. But how important is it, and what were the challenges of when you did that course?
The main challenge of the course was just that it was very, very long hours.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very, very intense.
Mm-hmm.
And also that the people that we were studying with were actually mostly auditors in the manufacturing industry. And so we had to try to keep on translating it back into hospitality. But the main reason for doing the course was so that I could position myself as an expert and as an expert in the spa industry.
Right. Brilliant, yes. brilliant.
Yeah.
And then this led you to opening up your own 5-star spa.
Yes, we open our doors next Monday,
mm-hmm.
1st of February 2016.
Yeah. Well, before we get into to the backstory of that, let's listen to a song. You gotta love African music. That is Mario, Franco, and Lair. For those of you who have just joined us, my name is Rosie Muthena, the AKA Afro Yiddish Princess. And in studio with me, I have Sheila Otieno Osanya, who has been talking about a phenomenal career in hotel and hospitality management, of studying in Switzerland, working in Kenya, which is a home country, working in Zanzibar, and then also working in South Africa. Now we're going to talk about you opening up your own spa, boutique 5-star spa. First of all, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
I think it's incredibly empowering when you hear of a female entrepreneur, and especially a non-South African entrepreneur who's doing it. First of all, before you even get into that, what has the challenges been? And I have to bring it up on a racial level or on a foreigner level. And I don't like to use the word foreigner because we all belong to the continent. But the facts are there. I mean, what are those major challenges that you've had?
So moving to South Africa was, obviously you know about the history of the country, but if you haven't actually been here, you can't actually appreciate.
Mm.
And that was one of the biggest shocks for me when I moved to South Africa, were the racial issues.
Yeah.
Just the way, white people felt they were better than black people, the way they treated them, the way they spoke to them, they marginalized them.
Mm.
And a lot of black people had, very low self-esteem. They couldn't speak back. They kind of cowered. I'd see some of my colleagues speaking to guests, hotel guests, conference delegates. And it was almost like shying away, like this person's going to hit you. And a lot of sir, and yes, sir, kind of, so that was very surprising to me, because in Kenya, we're all equal. No one thinks that they're better than anybody else. And then, as if that was not enough, then there was also that aspect of the xenophobic attitude from some people, which that now for me was a shock. I was like, but how can we be fighting amongst ourselves?
We're the same color. We're all chocolate.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, it's something that you kind of learn to manage. Mm. There's situations you can look at and see, you know what, I'm not going to get into this one.
Yeah.
And there's some, and you learn to walk away, because it actually doesn't make sense to get into a fight over race. For me, it just doesn't. Mm. It's not where I came from. I've experienced it. I've seen it, but it's not something that I like to engage in, because it leaves you with a very, very bad feeling inside when you've had a racial encounter. Yeah.
But also, I mean, if you, like what you said, I mean, there's certain things that you would tackle, but because you've been brought up in a way where you're proud and not, it's not that arrogance, but it's like, this is who I am, and you don't need to be engaging in that type of nonsense. So walking away, you're walking away with your head held higher than the
Absolutely.
Next person.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So your spa.
Yes.
The idea. Well, first of all, you've got an amazing philosophy behind the spa. You've got to share that with us.
Okay, so I believe going to spa should be a lifestyle. I believe we should all take a holistic approach to life and to wellness. Mm. I really believe in the benefits of touch. I think everybody should have a massage once a month at the very least if they can. And then, you know, the three pillars of the spa are harmony, balance, and presence. Mm-hmm. I think harmony, just to be harmonious and peaceful inside of you, you know, lack of anxiety, lack of stress, which is such a huge problem these days. Mm. Balance, just that struggle to balance work, life, family. I think it's very important to try and just find, you know, that central place where you're able to manage, you know, all the different aspects of your life without things falling out of control. Mm. And presence, just making that time to be aware of where you are at that moment and enjoy that moment. You know, don't go for a pedicure and then sit there calling your nanny, sending emails to the office, calling the supplier. Like, literally just sit there and enjoy that moment, you know, by yourself, of being pampered.
Yeah.
And so those are three pillars that, you know, we felt would best portray our vision for the spa at Marina Nickel.
Well, that makes absolute sense, because I mean, your location is absolutely beautiful. I mean, it has the most beautiful, tranquil environment, and it's in the middle of like the crazy hustle and bustle of Johannesburg. What drew you to that, to, it's at the Nickel in
The Marina Nickel in Hurlingham.
Yeah.
It was just a chance opportunity. A couple of months ago, I bumped into a therapist and who had just changed jobs, and I asked her where she had been working. And she mentioned that she had been working at Spa de la Vale, which used to be the spa at the Marina Nickel. Mm-hmm. And I asked why she left, because I'm a regular guest. Well, I used to be a regular guest at Spa de la Vale. Mm. And I thought it was must be a great place to work.
Yeah.
And she said to me that the spa was actually closing down.
Oh, wow.
That they would not be renewing their lease when it ended in November 2015. Mm. I then approached the owner, the general manager of the hotel, from a consulting perspective. I said to him, I understand you've got a spa going out. Do you need help? You know, do you need my consulting assistance to set up the new one? And he said, look, I'm just actually looking for an operator. And so I went back and then thought about it for a bit and then, you know, looked at the numbers and thought, you know, if not now, then when?
Yeah.
So as you say, it's a beautiful, beautiful location, and very, very fortunate to have found it, because I would not like to open a spa in a shopping center or a mall or something like that. I believe that when you finish your treatments at the spa at Marina Nickel, you still have this beautiful environment.
Yeah.
You can have a lovely meal, something to drink. You can sit in the gardens and just appreciate, you know, the experience and the day before heading home and dealing with traffic and all of those other things.
Yeah. Before we carry on, let's just take a quick commercial break and then we'll pick up on the spa.
Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
When you're in the back seat with four multicolored aliens and a talking bear, you don't ask questions. Questions like,
where are we going anyway?
Can I have another cookie?
Mom, are we there yet?
Because when you can watch Teletubbies, Winnie the Pooh, and all the best kid shows online anytime for 99 Rand a month with Showmax, a long road trip goes by a whole lot faster. So get to Showmax.com and get your 7-day free trial.
Pan African Connect on CliffCentral.com.
The time is 31 minutes past 3, and in studio I have Sheila Oteno Osanya, who's talking about, we're now talking about her new business venture, which is the Spa People, which is going to be opening up on Monday at the Marina Nickel. What products do you use in your spa?
We're going to be offering our guests QMS Medicosmetics, which is a German anti-aging range, and Barbour, also another German product that has beautiful results-focused facials and body treatments.
Yeah. Before we get into the body treatments, why the choice of those products essentially? Because, I mean, I've used Barbour, and it is amazing, because there are also very few products that work very, very well on our skin.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, first, I think maybe from my time in Switzerland, I appreciate the Germans, their efficiency. They're constantly redeveloping and improving their attention to detail. They're focused on results. And both companies actually here provide fantastic support to their stockists. Mm-hmm. From my consulting experience, I've got a great relationship also with both companies, and they've been very generous and helpful during this process of, you know, opening up the spa.
The transition.
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about skin before we. Okay. So the main focus is your skin, nails, and body.
Yes.
What your signature? I don't want to say dishes, but it is a treat. You are pampered when you walk out of there. So what are your signature treatments in terms of the skin ranges?
Okay, so I first have to say that there's a huge focus on anti-aging because I anticipate that many of our guests will be age 35 and older. Mm-hmm. And you need to start using anti-aging products from when you're at least 30 years old.
Yeah.
So there's a huge focus on that. I think one of my favorite treatments from QMS Medicosmetics is when they do this the collagen rejuvenation treatment, where you actually they do a facial and then you actually have almost like a plaster of Paris mask.
Oh wow!
That's put over your skin, and when that dries up and it's taken off your face, it actually tells a story of your skin.
Oh,
it tells you where your skin is dehydrated. It tells you where your pigmentation. It tells you where it needs nourishment. It tells you where fine lines are coming up. It actually tells a story. Mm. And so based on that, anybody serious about their anti-aging regime will then follow the advice of the therapist as to how to deal with all the issues that this plaster of Paris has highlighted.
That is amazing.
So it's just your first facial is just always this amazing experience, and you can take it home, and you know, the therapist doesn't have to go into scientific terms to explain to you what's going on with your skin.
Yeah.
They can show it to you there and then in front of you. And the main ingredient in the QMS Medicosmetics range is collagen, which, you know, plumps up the skin and leaves you looking very youthful.
Yeah.
So that's exciting
all
to me.
Want.
Exactly.
Although we always say black don't crack, but you know, we still got to protect ourselves.
Exactly.
And any treatment for men?
Most of the QMS Medicosmetics treatments, because they don't have any faff or anything. They're very results focused. This is the issue, and this is how we're going to treat it. Mm-hmm. So those treatments are fantastic for both men and women.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Let's move on to nails.
Okay.
What treatments do you offer in the nails category?
With nails, we're going to be using a product called OPI, which I'm sure many people are familiar with.
Yeah.
We're going to offer all the normal manicures and pedicures. We're going to have some special hand and feet treatments. Mm-hmm. And then we're also going to do nails in terms of overlays and full sets and natural tips and things like that. So the wide range.
In your opinion, I mean, the nail industry has really taken effect across the continent. And there's so many different camps that say, well, you know, the acrylic breaks your nails, whatever. In your opinion, I mean, is it really, really true? Because I think that if it really was that damaging, there wouldn't be so many of them. But I mean, what is your opinion on that?
My personal opinion is that it depends on the quality of your nails.
Mm-hmm.
I personally prefer to keep my nails natural. Mm-hmm. I normally will just have a normal manicure with normal polish.
Okay.
But I do see the benefits for busy people, working people, mothers who are constantly washing their hands and doing gelish and all acrylic and all these other nail systems, which then last a lot longer.
Right.
And also another issue is time as well. Not everyone has time to go for a manicure, pedicure every week.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
I think those systems are great as long as it works for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, and my favorite, what body treatments?
So we've got a great variety of all the normal massages that you can find in most spas, except we probably have the best massage therapist.
Beautiful, that's right. where did you get your massage therapist from? Is it also local?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We advertise locally, and you know we sifted through the several CVs and you know chose the ones that were interesting to us, and then had face to face meetings with the candidates, and then did practical interviews after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, offered people letters of offer, and we've managed to get a great team together. We've got a fantastic spa manager called Tandi. Mm-hmm. She'll be the spa manager, and she'll also perform treatments, qualified therapist.
Yeah.
I've got two fantastic multi-skilled therapists, Tsakani and Wendy. Mm-hmm. Wendy actually just came back home last week from, she'd been in Dubai for a couple of years, and then she did a couple of contracts in the Caribbean on the ships.
Oh, wow.
And when she was at the airport on her way home, she saw on my Facebook page that I was opening a spa.
Yeah.
She sent me an SMS from the airport.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to interview Wendy. I know her very well.
Yeah.
from many years.
Oh, yes. Beautiful.
And then we've got two fantastic nail technicians, you know, with years and years of experience, Linda and Abigail. Mm-hmm. So that's the team for now,
yeah,
to start off with. But we're very excited. You know, they're all ladies with a lot of experience,
yeah,
and we're all just really excited about next Monday, and also a bit anxious.
No, I'm sure, but I mean, but also why I go back to a specific spa and why I sometimes move away from a specific spa is the energy that a therapist puts. You know, I can't say puts on you, but releases when you walk in the door, and I
right.
remember. I won't mention the spa's name, but you could see that the therapist was having a really bad day, and then she's walking down in a huff and she's dropping a pen, and I was like, whoa, I don't want that type of energy put
right,
on me.
Right.
Do you also, in terms of when you do the interviews, do you also pick up on people's energies?
Yeah, you can. You learn to get a feel, like when someone's giving you a massage. You learn, you know, when someone is confident and they know what they're doing and they're excited about it.
Yeah,
you can definitely tell that in the touch, whether they're doing a facial, a pedicure, the way they hold your foot, or when they're doing a massage.
Yeah,
if they've picked up on your needs, sometimes generally you do have a consultation and a discussion about your problem areas and where you want them to focus on.
Yeah,
but experienced therapists often will pick up on other things that maybe you didn't even realize that you had issues with.
Yeah,
so for me. That's important, and just the passion, and they say that African therapists have a very, very warm touch,
yeah,
especially when they're doing massage,
yeah definitely.
Yeah, and that whole energy thing, it actually goes both ways, and that's why many spas leave like 10 to 15 minutes between treatments, so that in case the therapist picked up some negative or sad or some kind of non-positive energy from the client, they have time to kind of refresh themselves so that they're full of energy and ready to give the next client their best.
And give them the utmost attention.
Yes.
Just before we take a break, do you have any signature body treatments or things that we definitely have to do when we come visit the spa?
Yes. So we've got a variety of spa peels, that just generally enhance your feelings of well-being. We've got a fat burning body treatment, which I know many women will be interested in.
Yeah.
I'm definitely looking forward to mine.
Please, you do not need that.
Every woman has fat somewhere where only she knows.
So. But let's talk about those treatments. What does it entail?
Okay, so for example, the fat burning body treatment. This is a body wrap that gently compresses the skin tissue. Mm-hmm. So the active ingredients in the wraps penetrate deep into the skin. The fat cells break down, improving cross-linking of collagen fibers and restore the skin's firmness and structure. Problem areas then take on a much smoother and firmer appearance.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And I suppose you can do that at any age.
Yes. Well, I guess you can, but I wouldn't expect like a 18-year-old teenager to come in, wanting that kind of treatment.
No, because you mentioned that your majority of a clientele are 35 and upwards.
Yes,
so,
yes. So we all want to look good.
Feel good.
And we all want to look 21. So yeah, definitely.
I don't know about 21. I didn't like my 21st year. And what other, do you offer any special packages, wedding packages, that type of thing?
Yes, we're going to constantly offer different packages as time goes on.
Yeah.
At the moment, we have several pre-opening specials. Can I just
elaborate?
Yes, of course,
please do.
Okay, so all the opening specials will include complimentary use of our steam room and sauna. We've got one way, if you book a 60-minute QMS activator facial, you receive a complimentary express manicure and express pedicure. Mm-hmm. We've got another one where with every classic barbell facial booked, you receive a 30-minute back, neck and shoulder massage free of charge.
Wow.
We've got another one where for every men's energy release barbell facial, you receive a free 30-minute pressure point foot massage. Now, those specials are valid until the 31st of March.
Okay, so that's a good couple of months.
And then we've got a very exciting one for Valentine's that's valid until the end of February. Two 90-minute massages of your choice. Mm-hmm. two QMS deep cleansing intense facials and a glass of bubbly each.
Beautiful.
Let's celebrate one another.
You know, you have to. You have to.
Yes.
That's amazing. And then how does one contact you? I mean, you've got your Facebook page, which is the Spa People.
Yes, and we are going to be setting up another Facebook page for the spa at Marion on Nickel.
Okay, fantastic. And then, of course, it's the web address is www.thespa@marion.co.za. Okay, so that's the official website.
Yes.
Before we close off, I just want to touch on some of your personal challenges of going through first of all, moving countries, starting your spa and everything. But before we go into that, let's have some music. I was just talking in studio that this is definitely one of Africa's theme songs. When I started my travels across Africa, wherever you went, the song was playing. So it brought back very, very good memories. Thank you. By the way, the playlist today was sent through by Sheila. So these are her favorite songs. And we've been talking about her career, her starting of her own spa, which is at the Marion on Nickel. And of course, all the details will be on my Facebook page, on my Twitter account. Let's talk about more of the contact details and where our listeners could find you.
Okay, so the Marion on Nickel Hotel is situated on the corner of Sterling Avenue and Hamilton Avenue in Hurlingham, just off William Nickel. Telephone number for the spa, 011-783-9952. Alternatively, 083-636-3461. The email address you can contact us on is info@thespa@marion.co.za. As mentioned before, the website is www.thespa@marion.co.za, and we open next Monday, the 1st of February, 2016.
That is powerful. But like the first day, I mean, you said that you went to the hotel and you realized, okay, there's this opportunity, and you thought, well, now or never. It's quite a big bold. It's a bold move when you're going to be opening up your first business.
Yeah, I think about that every morning at 3 a.m. when I wake up having a panic attack.
But you know what? Whenever I speak to an entrepreneur, especially a female entrepreneur, because, you know, I'm going to bring this up and people say, well, you need to get over yourself. But actually, we don't need to get over ourselves. But it is harder as a woman, and it is a lot harder as a black woman. And I think it's so important for you to be honest about that. So thank you, because there are a lot of entrepreneurs out there saying, oh, no, it's easy. We're doing this. We're driving this car. Come on. Really, it is. It is the 2 o'clock in the morning.
What am I doing? Yeah.
But what pushed you from that level of anxiety to believing in you and knowing that your brand is going to work?
Okay, so first of all, I do have experience as a spa manager. Mm. And with the consulting, a lot of clients often ask, why don't you have your own spa? Mm. And it's often, well, because we're consulting.
Yeah.
But then I just thought to myself, because there are quite a number of spa consultants in the country.
Yeah.
I thought, how can I differentiate myself from them? Because some of them have focused on, you know, offering training packages. Some of them have developed their own body and skincare ranges. Those are not really my passions. And I thought, how can I do something different?
Yeah.
And I thought, well, if I'm a spa consultant and I have my own successful spa, and I can use that as a showcase. So every time I get an inquiry from a new client, before we even engage in any conversation about their spa, I'll invite them to my spa for a treatment. Yeah. And once they've had their treatment, now we can talk and they know, okay, she knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
Another thing is that when you're running your own spa, you're staying current with all the trends. Mm. What are people asking for? What kind of treatments are people asking for? What is it they want? What are their expectations? You're staying up to date with those trends, and then we're able to pass on those to our clients, and that helps in, you know, the kind of facilities that they're going to offer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. And advice to young ladies wanting to venture into, you know, yes, it's beautiful, but it is cutthroat.
Young ladies, it's a beautiful industry to work in. I can't think of anything better than kind of working in a space where you're also living the lifestyle, which is what I really like about the spa industry. You can be yourself all the time. You don't have two different personalities.
Yeah.
But it's hard work. A lot of young people, they're into their social lives. They don't want to work weekends. They don't want to work public holidays. They want to leave at 5 so that they can go out for sundowners and all the things that young people do. Mm. It's hard work. You really need to have a passion for it. It's almost like being a nurse or a doctor. If your heart is not in it, then don't even go into it. You'll be wasting your time and you'll be wasting your client's time. But it's a great industry because you're surrounded by people who have the same beliefs in wellness and lifestyle, you know, good nutrition, exercise, and you're helping to make people beautiful. Yeah. What could be better than that?
Absolutely. Creating that beautiful lifestyle.
Yes.
Before we close off, yes, you've got the beauty treatments and these beautiful products that you're working with and people with the most amazing energy. Just for layman's terms, I mean, people say, well, you need to drink a lot of water. What are your secrets to youth? I mean, she talks about that she wants to look 21. Well, she doesn't look under 30. So, what a bit of advice can you give to anyone just about maintaining that lifestyle? Because at the end of the day, if you're feeling good, everything around you is going to catapult into goodness and into positivity.
Absolutely. Okay, as they say, drink a lot of water. Try to be healthy. Move a lot. I have this Fitbit that I wear all the time. It was a gift from my husband. He has one as well, and we're constantly competing on a daily basis. So, like today, I was wondering maybe I should have parked at the McDonald's and walked here and just got a few more steps so I could be ahead of him.
Yeah.
Keep moving. The decisions we make now, and now I'm saying like in our late 20s and early 30s, the decisions we make now, stop smoking, drink less, get moving, exercise regularly, drink lots of water, are going to influence our health when we're in our 50s and 60s. You see a lot of people 50s and 60s, they're unhealthy, they're constantly sick, you know, they're battling all kinds of things, they can't move around. And I think that's because of decisions that they made in their late 20s and early 30s. We need to start now because I really believe it does have a huge impact going forward as we age physically. Yes.
So it's all about, you know, keep yourself moving. But also it's just about positive thinking.
Absolutely. You know. Surround yourself with positive people. Laugh a little every day. Sing even if you're tone deaf like I am. Yeah. And just surround yourself with people with good hearts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where to now? I mean, the spa's just open and it's going to be there for many, many years to come. But I mean, what are the other things that you plan to or want to achieve in your life?
Right now, my focus, I mentioned to you earlier, I have two and a half year old twins, a boy and a girl. I want to be the best mother that I can be for them.
Yeah.
And just provide them with every opportunity that I can. I want to be a good wife to my husband. And on a professional level, apart from just having a spa, I want to develop young people. I want to. I have a passion for women. Mm. I want to develop young people as they pass through our doors. You know, maybe go on to work in other spas, work on the ships. You know, go and work in Dubai and you know in other international environments.
Yeah.
But I really have a heart for developing, and I'm very very focused on training staff and people who don't enjoy regular training. They won't want to work for me because I'm constantly trying to get people from one level to the other. I want people who've worked with me or interacted with me to be able to look back and clearly see, you know, before I met Sheila, this is where I was. And after I met Sheila, that's where I was.
Yeah.
So I have a huge passion for that.
Beautiful. So let's just recap again your contact details. The number is 011-783-9952. Yes. Or alternatively, 083-636-3461. The email address is info@thespa@marion.co.za. Or alternatively, just look at my Facebook page, which of course is Rosie Mutena. I'm going to repost the information on the spa. And I see people already like making bookings.
Yes.
It's
yes,
out there.
It's
fantastic.
Very exciting.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well, I look forward to visiting it. And I think I'm going to take Spongoli with me. And we'll go get a couple of treatments and pamper ourselves.
We look forward to pampering you.
but thank you so much for your time and for your honesty. And, you know, I'm not in the same industry, but I mean, the first time when I met you, and I was like, wow, okay, so this woman is opening up a spa. She's opening up in one of the most elitist areas in South Africa. It can only go from great heights. So wish you all the best.
Thank you very much. And thank you very much for the opportunity to be on your show. I've really enjoyed it. I was very nervous, as you saw when I arrived.
But you're fine now because you're talking about your own passion. Yeah. Well, that's the end of this week's show. Next week, we go to Nigeria, talking about a fantastic, phenomenal singer who's going to be in studio with us. And hopefully, we can do something unplugged while he's in studio. But if you have any suggestions, compliments, complaints, please, my Twitter handle is PrincessRTM. Alternatively, I'm on Instagram and Facebook under Rosie Muthena. Until next week, stay beautiful, Africa.
Pan-African Connect on CliffCentral.com.